Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online for Wednesday, January 24th, 2007. The only January 24th, 2007 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with us and glad to have Mr. Michael Williams back in studio.
Yay.
We had to pull out another mic for Mike. on this Wednesday night. So we took last week off. Those of you who are regular listeners to this webcast probably figured it out. We were not live and there was no archive from last week, but we're back with you. And having the privilege of Michael being in studio with us this evening will allow our one phone line to be used for your phone calls. And you can start calling now at area code 813-425-5773 with any questions or comments about all things gospel. That's 813-425-5773. Michael, how are you doing?
I am doing so wonderful, Glenn. It's good to be here in the Tampa Bay area.
You've been enjoying yourself a little personal time last week. Good for you.
Poquito.
Yeah, and that was a pleasant experience, I take it.
Oh, absolutely, yes. We went to Disney World, and my goodness, I got mouse ears, commemorative mouse ears, and I wore them all day long. And I think I had a bigger fan club at the end of the day than Mickey Mouse.
And most people may not realize that you are 6'5". What about 240 now?
240 to 245.
And that's on purpose, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. Walking around with mouse ears.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. No, I had two friends, Chris and Joanne were there, and they didn't want to wear their mouse ears.
Well, they were just too cool for that.
They were cool. But believe me, they really are cool, though. So
yes, we've met both Chris and Joanne, very, very nice people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure to be with you. We've got a lot of questions already via the Internet, and we will be taking your questions as well that way. And you can just log on to or email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com, or do phone your calls and talk to Mike and yours truly in person at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. Our producer and engineer and call screener tonight is waiting for your calls, Mr. Patrick Jones.
Yay, Patrick.
At 813-425-5773. Michael, every day pretty much or thereabouts, people log on and they sign up to get our post via the Internet.
Yes.
And this one just came in, and I want to address this question first. This is from Judy from Huntsville, Alabama.
Yes.
And she writes, "Dear Mike, my daughter-in-law is moving out, leaving her three children and my son to have a lesbian relationship. Mm-hmm. They have rented a home. My son is determined to keep the children away from her until she comes to her senses and comes home. He's going to file for divorce and custody of the children, hoping to force her back home because of her lack of finances and not being able to see the children. I don't believe it is right to enter into a relationship not specified in Scripture as being okay any more than I believe in lying or adultery." Where have we heard this before? "I do believe that God cannot see any wrongdoing on our parts because of the whole sacrifice and the blood. Sin is not the issue for me. It is the fact that we wouldn't go around lying and somehow find a way to say it is okay to lie in this natural plane. Mm-hmm. In the same way, it is not okay to have a relationship out of God's plan for the whole human race, no matter what the reason. He doesn't want our heart to be broken. These kind of issues break our heart and our children's perception of what a family is."
Yeah, well, you know, we are kind of condemned to viewing things, Glenn, based on this is the way it is now, so that's the way it's always been. It's easy to say those things when you've not been the person who has lived the life of someone who has suppressed their very sexuality, their very existence on earth. Now, while I don't have any thing to say about, you know, whether this woman should have left, should not have left, the way she is handling the situation or not, Whether or not she's in a gay relationship or a straight relationship has nothing to do with anything scriptural or biblical whatsoever.
Well, let's take a look at that for a second, because she mentions acts that are not condoned by scripture. And she compares lesbianism to lying and whatever else she said. I put it down already. But here's the point. I think it's very important to have an accurate understanding of human behavior vis-a-vis the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not just lying and stealing and cheating that the Bible condemns. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible condemns all human action.
Everything that's human is condemned.
Okay, so to say that one should not condone lesbianism because it would be like lying would be like to say one should not condone lesbianism because it's like eating shrimp.
Yes.
And that's nonsensical at this point. So what's our best advice to Judy, given what she's facing with her daughter-in-law?
You know, Judy, the thing of it is that the thing that you're concerned about is your grandchildren, and that is, of course, the first thing that everyone's heart goes out to. But everyone has to look at the bigger picture. You know, it would be nice if everything was just as we were able to look at it on the surface. But the fact of it is never, never the way that it looks on the surface. And when you're dealing with someone's heart like this, you see that most of society doesn't know what it's like to live a life that is condemned by society. Even, you know, being black or being or even being women. My goodness, how many times, Judy, would you have been rejected for even speaking in a church because you were a woman, or from teaching in a church or prophesying in a church or carrying any position? It hasn't been that long that even carrying a position in our government would have been unheard of, which we just had President Bush give a State of the Union address last night for the first time with a woman sitting behind him. And I didn't care whether it was Democrat or Republican. I thought it was a great thing. But we don't know what it's like to be, the vast majority of Americans do not know what it's like to be an oppressed people in our society. Women do, which, Judy, you're one of those. And you know what it's like to be expected to do a certain way and then have to break free from that. And it would be like somebody condemning you because you stood up for yourself and said, no, I'm not going to follow in these guidelines anymore of the what people, and even scriptures, what people tell me scriptures are supposed to say about whether or not I'm accepted in the eyes of God or not.
Well, and also, you know, we're not just talking about behavior. We're talking about families being broken apart.
Yes.
So taking out the homosexuality from it, it could be an adulterous affair, what society still calls adultery, which is sex out of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
These are just realities that we have to cope with. They're unfortunate realities. But the one thing that I think helps, regardless of what situation you're facing and what behavior somebody's being challenged with,
mm-hmm.
is to realize that everybody in this situation is redeemed and forgiven and
yes.
loved by God and is not going to be judged by God
mm-hmm.
for being guilty.
You know what, Glenn? Let me say this too, because this just came in. This is just in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start looking from the other person's point of view, and I've had to do that, you know, in my own life. But you know, maybe the reason that she is not having anything to do with her children is because people have told her that she's condemned and she should not be around her children. You know, there's a lot of reasons for someone breaking ties with their children other than being irresponsible or uncaring. Now, just think for a moment. What if she believes what even Judy herself has said? What if she believes that? What if she believes that she is this illicit person who is condemned and unscriptural and ungodly? Even though accepted by God, But what if she believes that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's staying away from her children because she believes what she's been taught, that is, she's not good enough to be around her children.
Well, and the other thing is that even if you're saying that her behavior is covered by the blood, but it's still not a natural behavior,
yes,
that sets up for some very disheartening mental perspectives. And she's not going to be as functioning an adult and a mother as she could be if everybody that was surrounding her surrounded her with love and understanding, and mm-hmm. you know, we want to help you work through this.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, it's taking the higher road. You know, we realize that everybody in our life is going to do things that we do not see as beneficial to them, but you're not in their shoes. You're not walking where they walk. So to judge them is just not the way to go. There is a higher road. There is a spiritual plane that is higher than that, and it's called the gospel. It's called something that calls us all equal. And, you know, a lot of times by choosing to make even what in the long run might be a mistake, or at the short term might be a mistake, in the long run it may turn out to be the very best thing for that person and that family. We do not know the end from the beginning.
Right, and if there's any chance at all that this couple will be reconciled, the best chance that they have is to approach from a gospel perspective, from a forgiving,
Absolutely.
Unconditional, loving, I'm here for you, let's try to work it out, let's have the kids' priorities be our top priority.
Absolutely.
And you never know.
Because once the walls go up, they've gone up. Once the judgments are made, once she is deemed to be unscriptural, ungodly, you know, and I know that Judy has said that she knows that she's right with God, but that's, you know, that's like the old cliche that we've always heard pertaining to everyone, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin. Well, that just isn't scriptural either.
Well, that we could talk for an hour just about that statement right there. But
sure.
We're going to encourage you. We have Michael in studio tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and with the restraints that we have on this burgeoning effort, this Gospel Revolution webcast, right now we have the technology, obviously, to webcast to you, and we have one phone line. This is costing us money. We have not been supported at all in this regard. We're going to be talking about how you can support us, but the point is that you can take advantage tonight, and theoretically, we weren't expecting Michael to be here anyway, but tonight, but theoretically, next week, Michael's going to be back in the home offices in Illinois. When we do this, and we'll have to go back to strictly email questions, which is fine, and we know sometimes it's difficult, but we encourage you to do that tonight, which is pick up the telephone and call in with your questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you this evening. 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773 is the phone number to call, and we'll get your questions on, and we'd love to hear from you in person. Michael Leah from Vancouver Island in British Columbia wants to know about what your scheduling situation is like for Canada, and this will give us an opportunity too to talk to people about how they can have you come to their area. But are you planning another trip to Canada, and what's up with that?
Yes, I am. Of course, our Calgary meeting is coming up. It will be in late March. We still have to get those dates absolutely settled. We should be announcing that on the website just in the next week or two. Also in BC, actually Rowan and Diane, who have taken care of so much of our Canadian efforts there, have bought a bed and breakfast over on the beautiful Vancouver Island.
Really?
Yes. And so we are actually planning a seminar there.
Well, you better find out right now from Rowan Dine if they're going to be serving only kosher food.
Yes. We want to make sure that we are Jewishly appealing.
Absolutely.
So, yes, Rowan and Diane, we've talked about them hosting a week-long meeting, actually, there, or at least several days, And so we're talking about that, and so that would be over on the island, and that's near Nanaimo. I'm not sure exactly how close to Nanaimo, but it's, you know, it's not, it's a big island, but I mean, it's an island, so it can't be too far away.
And that gives us an opportunity to say, always check gospelrevolution.com for Mike's schedule consistently. That will always be updated. We always send out where Mike's going to be, when he's going to be. And this also gives us an opportunity, Michael, to encourage people to invite you to their area. Literally, it's as simple as just emailing us, and you can email us tonight even at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. It's not as expensive or as all-consuming as people might think. And whether it be a small group, and we're talking about people in their living rooms, or a larger group, you are happy to go and share this gospel.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Some of the greatest impact that we've had around the world, as you have mentioned, our series on the redemption of the world actually was done in your living room with just a handful of people. So the small meetings, even though, you know, I want big meetings, you know, we all want big meetings, but until we get big meetings, let's do small ones.
Right. And obviously, I mean, it's if there was anybody that was good at eliminating large groups, it was Jesus himself.
I don't know. I'm competing with him.
He'd have these tremendous groups of people, and then he would say stuff. You wanted to inherit eternal life? Give everything away you have to the poor.
Glenn, thank you. You have helped me so much to know that I'm much more like Jesus than I thought. I drive away the crowds.
Well, we're going to see that change. Of course, we're being somewhat sarcastic right now. But Michael has been all over North America, all over the world, speaking this message. And he said he did that Redemption of the World series in my living room. With very few people, but with a recorder. And now that series has gone all over the world.
Yes.
Has been translated.
And let us
Chinese.
Remind you also that that we've now gone to CDs, and we're, you know, you can expect in your mail and also through the website. Man, we've got so much stuff that now that we've got the CD recording and reproduction and duplication and mailing, it's all a seamless system now. So be ready, because we're going to be sending you a flood of good material.
Yeah, and that gives us also an opportunity to mention what exactly our situation is with the process that's happening. The duplication is happening now in Michigan, and doing quite an effective job getting these series out. And
so yes, David Manley is doing a fantastic job, a wonderful young man, and he took this over, of course, with no promise of remuneration, but we want to make sure that he does have that as soon as possible.
All right, we've got a caller on the line, and if you get a busy signal, ladies and gentlemen, just know that as soon as we're done with this caller, then it will be your turn too. But let's turn it over to Pat now. He's going to welcome our caller online. Caller, you are online with Glenn Klein and Mike Williams. How are you this evening? Hello. Are you there?
Hello, hello.
We're obviously having a momentary problem. But, okay, well, let's go to the next question that was emailed to us from, there she is. How are you tonight? Can you hear us? Hello? I can hear her breathing.
She must not be able to hear us.
Yeah, you got to listen into your telephone, not into your computer. All right, Pat, get that straightened out. And here's our friend Paul from the UK, Michael. This is a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Can people be demon-possessed today? And if not, how do we explain people's behavior who appear to be possessed?
Well,
good question, Paul.
Absolutely a good question. You know, the thing of it is that it's not a title that I gladly wear, but at one time I was called the nation's foremost authority on demonology. And we cast out lots of devils as far as what we knew. And as I look back over it now, I cannot really name you one situation that was authentic, that they weren't, you know, there was the high of the moment, there was this, that, or the other. And there was people's lives who were affected. But
well, what's going on, Michael, when you have a Linda Blair moment like The Exorcist and they're vomiting or they're speaking in other languages, or they've got a male voice coming out of a female body? I mean, what's going on there?
Hollywood. Hollywood is going on big time. And we try to duplicate that. We try to say that has happened. But you know, and the only thing I can do is speak from my own experience here. I've been around a lot of people that we claim to be demon possessed. They claim to be demon possessed. My God, folks, I remember one time a man approached me. I was on a platform that had like 8 steps up to it. It was in a fairly large church. The church had just dismissed, and the gentleman walked up to me and told me that he wanted me to pray for him because he had a spirit of lust, had an evil spirit. And of course, I was a devil caster outer. So he was dressed in a tie. He was quite a distinguished gentleman, and I thought, you know, we can get this demon out of this distinguished guy really quick here. And I laid hands on him and said, "Come out in the name of Jesus." Gosh, I haven't done that in a long time. And immediately, this guy went into a spaz. You know, it was amazing. But somehow, my hand got caught in his tie. I don't know how it happened, but it did. And he pulled me to the floor. And the next thing I knew, he rolled over on his knees on the floor. And my hand was caught in the front of his collar and his tie, and I was up on his back, and he was bucking like a bull, and I was riding him across the stage. So, and I'm looking around for some help from the pastor, and he's standing off in the back just laughing his self to silly.
Yeah, I bet he was. Oh. I wish we had video of that. We could.
Oh, no, we don't want any video of that. So I was yelling, "Come out in Jesus' name," with one hand in the air and one tied around his neck. And so then the pastor's standing off in the back of the auditorium laughing at me. And so finally he collapsed like any bull does that's been conquered, I guess, and stood up, you know, adjusted his tie, got my hand uncaught, and shook hands with me and said, "Thank you, Mr. Williams," and walked off the stage. So just to say that, the reason I say that is to tell you I've had some experience. But in all of that, if there is demon possession, I can tell you that in all of the Norville Hayes meetings I've been in, all of the Kenneth Hagin meetings I've been in all of the meetings of people who profess, you know, that demon possession exists, and one of the churches that I spoke in went with really hardcore, and they started casting demons out of the children in their church school every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was called blasting. And they were standing in these children's faces screaming at them every day.
Well, let's say, regardless of how one would think that a demon possession would manifest itself, because obviously people act in very, very strange ways, not just in church settings, but I mean, I was on the interstate today coming off, and I was driving with a friend of mine, and there was some guy standing in the rain just yelling at himself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So why, Michael, is that not demon? Whatever it is, whatever these manifestations are, whatever this peculiar behavior is, why is it not demon possession?
Well, it doesn't make any difference what you call it, Glenn. The fact of it is, walking up to that man and casting the devils out of him is not going to change his life. I've been around it way too much. You know, if you talk to the guy, he has probably been on drugs a great deal of his life, you know, just mental illness. If we were to go back in our time, just in the last few decades, Do you know how many things that we now deal with as legitimate medical problems that in just decades past were dealt with as demon possessions, such as epilepsy? You know, epilepsy 100 years ago was not dealt with as epilepsy.
But what about the people that have seizures or whatever kind of other oppression their experiences have go through some sort of exorcism and claim that they have relief from that? What do you say to that?
Well, anyone wants to believe that their seizures are over. Anyone wants to believe that their malady is over. Everyone wants to believe that their difficulties are over. Believe me, whenever I went through the exorcism for my homosexuality, I went along with it, and I decreed and declared that I was free. Why did I do that? Be out of absolute desperation to be accepted.
And was there a moment during this many years of this process where you were not, I don't want to say it in a pejorative way, but did not have homosexual feelings even just for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour after a service?
Well, of course. I mean, you don't go around thinking about sex, you know, 24 hours a day, and mine was, you know, only 23 hours a day. So, no, honestly, I mean, yes, of course there were times. And but it was times that anyone would not have sex on their mind. But if there were sexual thoughts in my mind, they never changed, no matter how much I labored to confess and profess and believe and try and do and pray and fast and read and memorize and obey and, you know, walk holy, you know, purify my mind. And my gosh, how many times I took myself through personal exorcisms because I had... because of the suppression of my sexuality, total, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and socially had suppressed my sexuality, man, I couldn't even hardly, Glenn, walk past a magazine counter without having to pick something up. I mean, not a pornography, just something that had some pictures of men in it to some degree. And, you know, workout magazines, whatever.
Right. Well, getting back to the issue of demon possession specifically, would it be accurate to say that the reason that people, no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're dealing with, no matter what they're being prayed for, the reason that people are not demon possessed is because the devil and all his minions have been defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross and have no authority on the earth anymore?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But what I was wanting to explain to the people is that after those times, I would actually do an exorcism on myself and actually gag and choke and throw up.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't mean I was demon-possessed. It meant that I was told this was validation that I could be free again and again and again. It's like confessing sin.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true. The reason that people are not demon-possessed is because Satan has been defeated. But there are people who are so filled with guilt and or judgment that it can alter the psyche to such a degree that extremely abnormal behavior can be the result.
All right, we're experiencing a little bit of difficulties with our phones, but we encourage you to call at 813-425-5773. Pat's getting it straightened out.
I know Simone's got a question.
And and we do have our caller on the line after much effort. We appreciate Patrick. How are you tonight?
Hi.
There you are.
Hey.
Sorry it took
finally
so long.
I'm finally here.
How can we help you this evening?
I wanted to respond to the response and ask a question.
Go ahead.
About the first question that you answered in regard to the daughter-in-law,
right,
who's has gone with another woman to be with her,
right?
You know,
and left her husband and family.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I wanted to make something real clear as far as what I believe about this. Number one, I'm the mother-in-law, and I have assured her that I love her dearly. I've not even mentioned her the lifestyle at all to her. I've always told her that I loved her and accepted her, never, ever, ever condemned her or made her feel condemned in this regard. And I've tried to encourage my own son in regard to this as well. I believe that, you know, it would be wrong for me to say the reason that I was using the lying as an example to be compared to, say, homosexuality or lesbianism. It was just something to compare the fact that before the cross, God looked at sin as an equal. There were right and wrong doing, right wrongdoings called sin, and there was a wrong state of being also before the cross. But after the cross, the state of being of all humans has changed from a sinful creature to a righteous creature.
Right.
So I do not condemn people or actions.
Okay, but let me ask you a question, okay? Leaving out why your daughter-in-law left, if she would have left because, let's say, for example, she just didn't want to be married anymore, or mm-hmm. or she decided that she wanted to travel the world, and that's what she felt in her heart, would that be compared to lying, as far as you're concerned?
No. All I was saying is that anything that God has said in the Old Testament regarding the right and wrong, the actions of people to be made righteous before Him, He stated, you know, lying was one of those things that we shouldn't do. But I don't believe it affects our relationship with God at all. It just, when our heart is truly changed by the real gospel, which is what I believe Mike preaches,
mm-hmm.
and I followed him ever since 1989, and went through all the changes that he went through,
right.
as regards to going from the faith-based religion, as far as, you know, claiming it,
yep.
speaking it, and all
right.
the things.
Prosperity gospel.
And I studied it totally out myself, and I see the reality of the gospel of peace. And I was there at that Norval Hayes meeting in 89 in Olney, Illinois, and met him for the first time at that meeting and got blessed. And then as we, you know, he proceeded on and I proceeded on, you know, and the Lord is faithful in how He teaches all of us. And I know that there is something that I can do. See, my son and his family are involved in a very fundamental church. I am not in a church because I do not wish to participate in things that I know will not tell me the truth. I know who I am in Christ. And I guess the main thing that I would like to say is that no matter what, you know, How do I reach my, see the pastor? I'd like to go and see the pastor and talk to the pastor of this church and encourage him and to say.
Well, because we are, you know, limited on our time.
Sorry.
No, there's nothing to be sorry about, honey. But what can we help you with tonight? What is your question?
How can I start to teach my son, if he is open, and his, see, my How can I help them? Where do I start in the scripture? Do I start with Isaiah?
And when you say how do I start helping them, do you mean your son and your but do you mean your son and daughter-in-law too?
Exactly.
Okay.
But my son is the one who is accepting her as she is, and he's just wanting to protect the children.
Okay. Well, we're gonna answer the question online. So go back to your computer, and then we'll deal with that. And please stay in touch. And thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank.
Okay, well, and now that line is open. So for the next person that has been trying to call, and feel free to do that, Patrick will take your call at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773, and we'll get you on and give you your time too. Michael, this lovely woman is troubled in her heart. She's been listening to you for 16 years. Already.
Yeah, that's true.
And yet there's this still clearly this confusion about the issue that has split her son and his wife up. It's not just a normal divorce situation. It's being tied into the Bible. And this is a very, very dangerous thing in any regard, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of those situations where that, you know, we have to take into consideration that, here we are with my belief, and I totally believe that our basic character is that we are emotional human beings, and it is to the degree that we are able to adjust our emotional response to something that we're growing spiritually. We don't grow spiritually because I go to church enough, I pray enough, and this has been a drastic change for me. And it is our emotional response that indicates our spiritual growth. I do believe in spiritual growth.
How would you define spiritual growth?
Well, spiritual growth is simply being able to remain in a position where that we are not being in a position of guilt and or judgment of someone else.
So it spiritual growth is equated to the ascendancy, if you will, that the gospel has in one's mind and emotions.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it is that impact on the emotional realm that is spiritual growth. And I know that in the past, in our Word of Faith days, we actually saw that our emotions were so strong that we tried to deny them. And say that you don't listen to your emotions. Well, you don't because we're spiritually immature. Even Paul said that. He said, you know, I wanted to talk to you as spiritual, but he said, I can't because there's all these emotional traumas around you. You know, there's backbiting, there's, there's wars and strife, and all of these things that Paul mentioned are emotional conditions that we are in, and he said that was a lack of being spiritual. So spiritual maturity, we have placed it off into a bizarre little, you know, I don't talk anything except about the Bible, I don't do anything but say scripture.
And I base my life's actions and perspectives,
yes,
and everything from voting to what I do on Sunday morning. Based
absolutely.
On what, on some interpretation,
yes,
somebody's interpretation of the Bible. And the bottom line, is, and so we can move on, is that you can use anything in life, ladies and gentlemen, including the Bible, to make decisions about. But as far as this wonderful woman's son and daughter-in-law, yes, and the children are concerned, honesty is the best policy. And one must explain to people, to the best of your ability, based on your understanding of human sexuality and relationships and marriage and divorce, that people sometimes don't always stay together. And to the degree that you can manifest and articulate unconditional acceptance and show it to your children will be to the degree that they come through these things. Divorce is not an easy thing. We can do a whole seminar on divorce, mm-hmm, and never exhaust the entire subject.
Right.
But just show the kids love, let them see their mom, let them see their mom and dad communicating and loving on each other and hopefully having meals together, and keep the gospel, which is God's unconditional love for everybody involved in that situation in Alabama.
And also, Glenn, I want to say this also, that, you know, from, again, from personal experience, not just with my life, but in my involvement in the gospel and spirituality, that the most powerful thing that anybody can do, even though it doesn't look like it's the best at the moment, the most powerful thing you can do for everybody around you is be yourself. Now, with that said, the immediate results of simply being and embracing yourself doesn't seem to be good, because we're all in lockstep. We all think that doing everything the way that society tells us and religion tells us, that there is some standard of norm that must be met to be acceptable, not in God's eyes even, but just socially. So it's important that we be able to have these things put into a proper perspective, because if we're not being ourselves, we're not being what other people need us to be.
Wait, slow down on that one, because I think, and you've told me this before, and I think it's very profound. People are always trying to hide themselves from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And what people really need is exactly the opposite of that. They actually need us to be ourselves with all of our foibles and faults and frailties.
Absolutely, because if you build relationships based on who you're not, then you're going to have to maintain that. And, you know, it's like I say, you know, what is on the surface is not always exactly what we're dealing with. We have to, you know, it takes just a little bit more time, a little bit more effort to look at things for what they really are. But the issue of being yourself is the most powerful thing that I have tapped into in my own existence, in somebody who really is a believer, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that he is the Redeemer of the world.
Stronger than you ever have, right?
More than I ever did, yes, in the evangelical terms. I mean, he is an absolute to me anymore. And but he absolutely became that when it was not absolutely necessary that I do it.
That's amazing
stuff.
Well, let me just say, from personal experience, I've known you a long time, that the more that you've allowed yourself to be yourself in my presence, and obviously there's a trust level in any relationship, it has been so powerful for me as a person. And you know that I've reached out to you on many occasions, and you've responded with honesty and as Michael Williams. And that's what people need. They need you to be, because there's nobody else, ladies and gentlemen, in their lives like you are.
Yes.
And we need a balanced diet. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
We've got a call at 813-425-5773. So if you're trying that number and it's busy, just please wait till we're done. With Stacy from Winchester, Virginia. Stacy, how are you on this Wednesday evening? Glenn Klein online with Michael Williams.
Hi. I'm not as emotionally unstable as I was the last time called in.
We thought you were great last time, Stacy.
Oh, that wasn't emotionally unstable at all, Stacy. That's like freedom.
Oh, I tell you, it was just a joy to talk to you, and it is tonight too. I love listening. I turned myself the thing down so I could ask the question, but it is just everything you say, Mike, is just like, that is exactly it. I mean, I've spent 20 years leading worship. We're really, part of a big charismatic church, and I love God, and I was passionate about it. But yet, I haven't been to church now in like 6 months.
Wow.
You know, because of a lot of big things happening, and I just feel like God's just like propelling me onward, that it's not it's like more of what I've been searching for, not less.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like, kind of like freedom, huh, Stacy?
Yeah, and it is, and so many people now think I am like the worst person. How in the world can you be doing that? Can you say that? But
well,
I don't really
welcome
care
to the club, Stace.
Yeah.
I know. Well, my question, Mike, is, I have loved so many of the teachings that you've done and taped. I love how you go through so many things and just make such sense of it all. So you did one on the 7 pillars of wisdom.
Yes.
And you mentioned in a newsletter that possibly that may be a book one day, and I was wondering if that was ever going to be in the works again.
Well, thank you.
And if you guys are ever on Larry King, I would be glad to sit with you because you guys have a great, you just, there's news that a lot of people need to hear in this world. And I hope you get there one day.
All right, Stace. Thanks a lot. And
thank you,
Stace.
Turn your computer back on.
I will. Thanks.
All right, honey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Patrick is waiting to hear from you. We've got a few more minutes. Call in and talk to Michael at 813-425-5773. The seven pillars of wisdom, Michael.
Yes, you know that the seven pillars of wisdom is actually laid out, probably a later work that I will do and will compile together. It put all of what I teach in the gospel in one structured framework without going into great detail about any of it. But it did lay down the seven pillars of this of the gospel, which Proverbs calls seven pillars of wisdom. We took off of that. But there has been a change. We've had a lot of false starts with publications, but we do have it started, and it's not the seven pillars of wisdom. We're starting out the first one of those pillars of wisdom. We decided to publish these in individual pillars. We actually might be doing individual bricks, actually, instead of even pillars, because everyone that listens to me knows that we have literally redefined Christianity. We have not redefined the work of the cross. We have not reestimated whether or not Jesus is the Son of God. We have not reestimated as to whether or not he was born of a virgin. We've not reestimated as to whether or not he died, rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. What we have readdressed is the totality of that truth. We agree with Christianity that Jesus is Lord. It's just that we really, really believe it. We really, really believe it. And
they don't.
They don't.
Yeah, sorry.
They just don't.
Somebody that you have to make Lord is not Lord.
Yes. You know, and somebody that a human can make Lord is certainly not any spiritual Lord, for sure. Human beings cannot make God Lord. I mean, give me a break. And number one, there's not a verse in the Bible on the subject. But what we are starting out with on our publications is a booklet, which will probably run about 30 to 35 pages, and it's on the end of the world, and it's a very important subject that I want people to understand, that this planet is not going to be destroyed by God, that all of the judgment of God was upon the cross 2,000 years ago, and when Jesus talked about the end of the world, it wasn't the end of the cosmos, it was the end of the aeon, which means a Jewish period of time. The Jewish period of time ended. The end of the world took place 2,000 years ago. So we've got many, many generations who've been threatened with this end-of-the-world concept, which is an absolute, unmitigated lie.
It's a lie.
It is a lie, and it has been propagated through ignorance and through the need to manipulate and control.
Right. It's been propagated through ignorance and intentionally
yes.
misleading people.
It definitely has. And, you know, whose heart has done what is not for me to judge, but I can tell you that it's definitely been done, and we want to see an end to that. I want your children and my children, my grandchildren to grow up knowing they live on an earth that is blessed by God, and that they have the power to accomplish anything that they want for as long as they want it. And there's no need in going around with a terminal mentality saying I might as well just throw my life away because it's all going to end anyway.
Well, one of the great things that happened the last time you were in Canada was you spoke to a hockey player up there who thought that the world was going to end at any second. And when he got to listen to you to talk about the fact that that was not going to happen, it lifted a burden from him. And we have a caller right now from Canada, British Columbia, exactly. Ken, you are online, Glenn Klein with Mike Williams. How are you on this Wednesday night?
Oh, good. How are you, Glenn?
We're doing wonderfully.
Welcome.
That's good. Yeah, my name's Ken, and I've talked to Mike on the phone a couple times. I'm from BC, and I just wanted to call and thank you guys.
Thank you, Ken.
You know, the message you guys have been putting out has so touched my heart. You know, the last few years I've been listening to it, a couple years online, and I had some of Mike's old tapes that I was given, and, you know, it's really transformed my heart. And, you know, I used to feel as a little child and guilty about a lot of things, and even to the point of where I played with my grandma, and she accidentally, you know, we were playing sword fighting, and she committed suicide that night, and, you know, I thought it was my fault. And, you know, I knew it wasn't, but I went to church, and they told me that if you commit suicide, you die. And you go to hell. You know, when I listened to Mike's tapes, The Gospel of Peace, when I was 40, like 32 years later, I finally could begin to mourn because I kind of closed it in.
My goodness.
And I wept and I cried. And I didn't really mourn, couldn't mourn for my grandma until I was 40 years old.
My goodness.
And when I realized, he's good with God, and
right.
He's not in hell.
That's right.
You know, it just it changed my life.
It's fantastic.
Like,
man.
My heart was like, oh, you know, I'd sit in church every Sunday and I'd go, they say this, but why does my heart say something different? And I've listened to Mike's tapes, and, you know, I've cried for 3 days.
Ken, listen, man, it is so wonderful that you called us, because there are people that are listening to the sound of our voices right now who've had loved ones commit suicide, and they've wondered the same thing. And let me tell you something, that not only is your grandma in heaven right now, but everyone is going to go, and we're going to have a big reunion pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
And this life is like what the Bible says. It's like a vapor. It's very, very quick, and your sharing tonight, I know, has helped a lot of people. And just stay tuned and keep logging on and stay in touch with us, okay?
Thank you, Ken.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Yeah. That's Ken from British Columbia, and now that line is open for you, ladies and gentlemen, to call at 813-425-5773. We've got a few more minutes left. Come on and share with us.
Yeah.
You only got Mike in the studio for another 10 minutes or so. 813-425-5773. I remember, Michael, when Oral Roberts' committed suicide. And the Word of Faith movement and fundamentalism teaches that if you kill, you don't go to heaven.
That's right.
And if you kill yourself, you certainly don't go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sin.
Yes.
But somehow, Oral got this revelation that his son got special dispensation from the Lord and somehow got in. And it's crushing to take that kind of advantage for yourself and not extend it to the rest of humanity, who's, you know, there are people that are hurting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And suicide is really one of the toughest things for people to deal with, because that is the ultimate choice.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not like somebody got into an accident or got a disease or just died of old age. And not to extend that kind of grace that he received or articulated that he had gotten from God is just so damaging and so destructive, and it's so wonderful, even after 32 years, for Ken to understand that, yes, his grandma's good to go, just like us all.
Absolutely. And, you know, Glenn, you know, the old adage really does apply here. That which is condemned is irresistible. That which is forbidden is irresistible. And suicide is completely forbidden in Christian doctrine, and there really is an element that it becomes obsessive for someone who's definitely in a mental and emotional trauma or distress, that they actually become more obsessed with it because it is so condemned, and it's just so completely condemned. I remember the very first time I stood up, and this has been many years ago, and I wanted to address that specifically. As most of you know, we've gone through every thread of Christian doctrine at some point, every thread of Christian doctrine and looked at it again, readdressed it, and retaught it. And this is just one of those things. And I remember that I stood up and I talked about how preposterous it was to deem that someone who had committed suicide had gone to hell, and explained why. Not just, I took the scriptures and I explained why that was absolutely not a possibility at all. I had three people, Glenn, in that one meeting come up to me, and tell me that they had been totally obsessed with suicidal thoughts. Three meeting in a group of probably 150 people. And they told me that when I addressed it, these three were completely separate from each other. They weren't together, you know, three different times after the meeting, or three different points after the meeting, these individuals came up to me. And their story was basically the same, that once I addressed it and told them that this was not something that was going to send them to hell, they said that the obsessive thoughts stopped immediately.
Mm.
Now, that's their experience. And but see, that's the reason that we love this gospel so much. You know, people get so frightened of freedom, and they're afraid that if you tell people they're not going to go to hell if they commit suicide, it's going to promote them committing suicide. But that just is totally the opposite.
It's the opposite.
It is absolutely the opposite.
That's been our experience.
Yes.
Well, if you don't go to hell, if the law has been done away with, you could just kill people.
Yes.
But what we're finding is that people want to kill people less.
Yes.
That people's behavior, for some reason, and you know we've talked about why, but for the sake of the shortness of time, people's behavior is moderated.
Especially destructive and self-destructive.
And that's what the Bible says about this gospel too, doesn't it, Michael?
Absolutely. And, you know, the results are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, patience, and temperance. But they are fruits of the Spirit, not fruits of the law. Mm-hmm. The law and the Spirit are absolute opposites.
Well, we're coming up against the clock, and this is a great way to end. This is Glenn Klein Online, along with Michael Williams, who's been in studio with us for a couple of weeks now at the beginning of the year. But this is a letter, Michael, from a young man named Mike from Kings Mills, Ohio. And I think it speaks to how the process that people go through with this gospel. Now, listen to what he says. Mike and Glenn, I have believed most of this gospel for over 20 years. But some of Mike's recent teaching has opened up new avenues of understanding. In John 15:10, Jesus said that he kept his Father's commandments. He then said that he has one commandment for us, that we love one another. So Jesus took care of the Father's commandments. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. It is simply to love one another. That is awesome, Mike. This fellow's name is actually Greg, excuse me, from Kings Mill. Greg is on the right track.
Yes, we're sniffing the right direction.
But it's even that commandment, just to love one another, even that is not possible. Jesus, Michael, took care of even that one for us too.
Even that one, because you remember Jesus said that on these two commandments hang all of the law, to love God. But see, love, we have to take love based on its definition. How do I love somebody? Well, I've got to take God's definition of love. You know, we can't just say I love people. I've got to take God's definition of it and then see if I measure up to it. Well, God's definition that he gave through his own son was that love was to love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So, yes. And a lot of people go to that, you know, that it's just the love. And of course, that would be the expansion of Jesus's teaching, or the full declaration is it's not just love one another, but it's love God and love people. But here, Jesus did not say that this is how you fulfill all of God's law. He said these are the two commandments upon which all the law hangs. So Jesus had to fulfill those two commandments to do away with all of the commandments. including love your neighbor as yourself and love God, because it's not just my definition of loving my neighbor. Loving my neighbor might be, you know, saying hi to him in the morning, or if I was extremely loving, maybe I might mow his yard for him when he didn't know it. But we're talking about God's definition.
We're talking about, basically, we're talking about dying on a cross for
absolutely
your neighbor.
And to that degree, because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And nobody has, you know, Glenn, I love God. I've been around a lot of people who love God. You love God. I do not know any human being who loves God with all their soul, all their might, and all their strength, and loves their neighbor as themselves.
All right, well, let's just take one part of that, and we're going to extend here for a few moments, and we appreciate Patrick's patience, because I know he's got a hot day tonight. Let's just take love the Lord your God with all your soul.
Oh, my.
And what soul means, all your mind.
Yes.
That, all your heart. That would
your
mean,
will and your emotions.
That would mean every single thought, every single emotion,
yes,
every single inclination that you would ever have would have to be God-focused.
Yes.
It ain't possible.
No, it just isn't. And that is that, and that's the wonderful thing, folks, as we bring this to a close, is that the magnificence of Jesus and his sacrifice at the cross even fulfilled those two laws on which all the law hangs. And so, yeah, your dog was hunting the right direction here. And but this is the conclusion of this, is that even that commandment has been fulfilled.
Yes, and Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to write.
Oh, my, yes.
And hang in there. We all have got to go through this process. Nobody has ever arrived at the end of this until we cross over. I'm sure, I'm very confident, Michael, that there is a much deeper understanding and revelation of this gospel and Christ on the other side of whatever forever is.
Well, we'll be always learning here, and we will understand it fully. I agree with you. I really believe that even though people think we've gone pretty far, I don't think anybody can go as far as God has gone to demonstrate his love and his mercy to us.
Yeah, and we're just starting to scratch the surface.
Absolutely.
But it's exciting. And never, ever, ever, ladies and gentlemen, feel anything but embraced by us.
Yes.
And by this message. This is one of the greatest things, Michael, is that this message is so beautiful and so all-encompassing and so freeing that we can actually talk about these things without in any way, shape, or form feeling superior, looking down on somebody,
thank God,
or feeling inferior for that matter.
Absolutely, either one.
It's beautiful. Hey, thanks for coming and stopping by the studio.
Oh, my. It's been wonderful being here at the studios of Glenn Klein Online.
And hopefully we'll do it again soon, live in person. It's so fantastic to see you. So happy to say that we're sending you back to the land of Lincoln with a tan.
Yes, you are. Compliments of Glenn.
You look great. You sound great. And also, Mike, we want to encourage people to tell their friends about the webcast, tell their friends about the website, about the teachings that are available, as you said earlier, on CD. It's gospelrevolution.com, ladies and gentlemen. Tell your people. There's so much to read. There's so much to listen to for free, both as far as the webcast is concerned. There's a lot of teachings, Michael, that are online that people just can listen to.
Tremendous
to get
amount.
And then please consider making an order today and giving a donation. It is tax deductible in the United States. What's wrong with Canada that they don't let the donations? At least the Gospel Revolution, it should be tax deductible.
Absolutely.
And so a week's time you'll be on the phone. You'll be back up in Champaign.
As far as I know.
Well, we'll see. It's 7 days is a long time. Oh, you know what?
What?
I'm not going to be here.
Glenn, no.
I am going out of town. All right, so we're going to take next week off. yeah, I've actually got a speaking
engagement. Flash announcement.
I've got a speaking engagement in Wisconsin.
6 minutes after our broadcast is to be over. We find out next week's broadcast isn't going to be.
I'm going to be freezing my tuchus off next week is what I'm going to be doing. All right, so in 2 weeks' time, that'll be February whatever that is.
Yeah. We are so professional on there.
I love it. I love it. And I love you, Michael.
Love you too, Glenn.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you in early February. Just keep online. You know you hear from us. You know we love you. And stay in touch, will you please? This is not happening unless you keep us posted on how you're doing, and it really does encourage us.
Absolutely.
Michael, safe journeys.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
This is Glenn Klein online saying, Shalom, everybody.